Blog Talk Radio.
You're live. Hello? Hello?
Hello, Blog Talk listeners. Thank you for calling Street Talk, where we are on live every Friday night from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m. I am your host, Miss Reddy, and my co-host, Diamond D. We have a few rules on this line. On Street Talk, we ask that you do not use profanity, and we ask each other's opinions. I also ask that we speak one at a time so that we can hear each other as we speak. Also, remember, we are on live, so if you have any background noises, I ask that you put your phone on mute so that we won't hear any background noises. We can be reached at 310-982-4126. 310-982-4126. Okay, tonight's discussion is on food served in cafeterias in the schools from a parent's point of view. Hi, Diamond D. How are you?
Hey, I'm very blessed. Can you repeat that phone number for some of our listeners, please?
Our phone number is 310-982-4126. That's 310-982-4126. And we're on again, I said, every Friday night from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock.
All right.
Okay, and tonight's discussion, as I said, is on food served in the cafeterias in the schools in our areas from a parent's point of view. And I would like to start off by saying that some of our kids go to different schools in different districts, so we're not battering or slandering any school districts. We're just speaking in general, and everyone is entitled to their opinion, so I would like you all to share. I know some of your kids go to a district, and I know we were speaking. How are your kids saying that the food is from your point of view, Diamond, if you don't mind?
You know, I think they're doing the in-class school thing now. It's kind of like it's processed like food. I wish I could show you, what do you have on your end, Tasha?
On my end, I have a lot of different aspects of it. Some food the kids say are good, some they say are bad. You know, they're typical kids. They're gonna complain about food, whether your mom cooks it, whether the cafeteria people cook it, or whatever. Sometimes kids just don't like to eat it. And I know that they have a diet plan that they're actually going on to help the kids lose weight. They don't want them to be obese. Their main concentration now is to make sure that the kids don't become obese, because they're saying that a lot of kids in the districts are obese, and they're concentrating severely on weight. They're trying to make sure that the kids don't become obese. Because the statistics shows that a lot of children school age are becoming obese at early ages, and they don't want them to become obese, so they have special diets that they go by. Their menus are more nutritious than what they used to be once when we were growing up. And I know for instance, like Dallas ISD Food and Child Nutrition Services, their mission is to provide good nutrition that fuels successful learning, and it says that their goal is to provide quality food on the serving line all the time. So from the first student we serve to the last student, they all have a positive school meal experience, and that's their mission statement on their actual nutrition menu. So what they're basically saying is, they want to make sure that the kids are eating, like it's like food for the soul. They're trying to make sure the kids are successful. I guess they feel like learning is somehow feeding them nutritious meals. helps them better when they're learning, you know?
All right.
And I know the kids complain about it because they say that a lot of it is pre-cooked and potted. You know, they're not like the sausages aren't actually sausages. My kids come in, they complain about the sausages and stuff. They say it's not the regular meat and stuff like that. It's kind of soyish to them, you know?
Okay, yeah. I've heard the same from my kids.
Know your name.
You said know your name. Who is this? Hello, we have any callers? We have a caller. I heard a caller. We're on Street Talk on tonight, speaking about food and nutrition at the King School. Hi, caller. We're on Street Talk. We're speaking about nutrition at the school. We're speaking about food on tonight. Would you like to speak about the food? Oh, okay. They don't want to speak about the food. Diamond D, well, what I was saying, like the mashed potatoes and stuff like that, they complain about that because they say that it's more of the instant potatoes and things of that nature, which they want home-cooked potatoes, but they don't have time, I don't believe, to actually prepare that kind of home-cooked food. Like we're more into wanting our kids to have the home-cooked meals at the schools instead of the pre-made, ready-made food, you know?
Yeah.
And some of our concerns, I know me and you spoke about this, and we were both concerned about how they are having the breakfast inside the classrooms and stuff now instead of going to the cafeteria. You were
correct.
Speaking to me like that. Go ahead and share that with the public.
I think that's not, you know, how healthy is that because of you know, if it's not being cooked, you know what I'm saying? You're not getting a good breakfast. You know, breakfast is supposed to be one of the most important meals of the day. So, you know, how is that if they're getting it in the class?
You're saying like it's not, you don't think it's important because it's inside the classroom?
I mean, it's not a meal. You know what I'm saying? Have you seen some of the breakfast that they feed the kids in the morning?
I've seen some like the sausage on a stick. I haven't actually went inside the cafeterias anytime this year and actually experienced any of the food that they had inside my kids' school because they're of age where they don't want me in the schools. But I ask them different kind of things that they eat. They tell me they have the sausage on a stick. The sausage and biscuit. They may give them like a. Sometimes they may give them like a fruit. You know, a fruit and like juice. And my son, he complains a lot about the lunch because he says that some of their food be spoiled and stuff like that. So he gets upset about that. And I was told this year from one of the districts, I'm not going to say which district, I was told from one of the district people that they have to just kind of accept what they get. Hi, we have a new caller. Hi, caller 7380. How are you on tonight? Last numbers of the phone, 7380. How are you on tonight?
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. We were speaking on tonight about the food that's served inside the classroom. The food that's served inside the school districts at the schools. We had a couple of people that were, we did a little poll online this week. And myself and my co-host, people wanted to hear about the food that served at school. They was concerned about it because they said in the poll that I actually done, some of the people were saying that the kids are complaining about the food and they're saying that it's not enough. And they were saying that they don't like it because it's pre-made food. They said it don't taste like the home food, the food that they eat at home. And it said the servants wasn't large enough. That's what I got from the actual poll that I did. And so we were just speaking about that. What is your outlook on the food that they're serving at the schools to the children?
Well, I don't know what they're serving at the school. I thought it was for their, what is it, less food or what kind of food? I don't know what kind of food they serve at the
They were saying most of the parents that I came into contact with this week when I done the poll, they were saying that they didn't feel that their kids were actually receiving enough food. And they were saying
but our bodies don't need a whole lot of food.
Yeah, that's what I was just telling Dom, and I said that the school districts are looking at, the school districts are more of saying that they want to make sure that they concentrate on the nutrition of the kids. They're trying to make sure that the kids don't get a lot of fattening foods and things of that nature, so they change the menu up a little bit.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think that's good for their health because, you know, a lot of food going in your body is not good. Our bodies don't need much food to live off of. And we eat because it's there, you know, and we can have it. A lot of us now got spoiled by eating, and our bodies don't need, you know, much food.
Yeah. I understand what you're saying. You're saying that we don't need a lot of food, but they were saying that they pay. One of the concerns one of the ladies said on the poll, do you remember when the lady was saying that she pays for the food, so she don't understand why they wouldn't be full when they come in the evening time? She was saying that the kids still come in, they have to she have to cook twice in the evening, like, for her kids. One lady said she had to cook twice in the evening for her kids, because the kids weren't getting enough food at the school. They were coming home with snakes and things of that nature. You remember that, Dom?
What is something about the cash? But you know, when you give the kids cash, and you know, it goes on like that's like a tab or like a bill. You know, at the school, you know, for them they have so much they can buy out.
They were also talking about some of the districts are going away from cash. They don't want the kids to bring the cash to the school. So when you actually send the cash up to the school with the kids, they were actually putting cash on the kids' accounts, like as if they were in jail, and they weren't agreeing with that in some of the districts as well. I think that was Duncanville. They were saying that there they put the money on the kids' account. Instead of giving them their change back, they actually put it on their account instead of kids' their cash. Yeah, and a lot of parents was concerned with that inside the food and nutrition department. You're sure right, yeah.
Okay.
Do you agree with that? Do you agree with that, caller? Do you think that that's kind of interesting, or like what is your outlook on that? How the handling of the money instead of them giving the kids the change back? Like, you know, when we were younger, we used to go in, we have a dollar for a snack, we might pay, you know, the dollar, and they give us our change back. But now they're not giving the kids the cash back, they're actually putting it on their account, and they're having to use their account to just, you know, they don't give the kids
the
cash back.
The kids have an account at school?
Yes, like kind of like jail. The lady was saying she was pretty much putting it like jail. And I was like, no, I didn't look at it like jail, but I thought that was kind of rather odd, you know, kind of odd, kind of different, you know, kind of different.
Well, when do they get their money?
No, they don't get it. They don't get it. And sometimes one lady was saying that her children had money on their account from last year, and when they went back to the school this year, they got it still on their account. I guess it just rotates around. It goes with them. Like, even if they're at a grade level, I guess in that certain district, it don't matter what grade level you're in. I guess it goes by your student ID number. That's what she said. You put your student ID number inside their computers that they have, and it lets you know how much money that you have on the account. And that's basically how they do it. They don't give the kids the cash back. Like if you send your child, the lady was saying she sent her child to the school with a $20 bill, and she was for sure that, when your kids get ready to come out of the class and they say, when they get ready to, pay for their food, they say, well, hey, I want a cookie. They give them a 20 and then they add it to their account. They don't get change back.
Right.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It don't come back. It doesn't come back to their hand. I guess you would have to actually go up to the schoolhouse and get your money back. You get what I'm saying?
Maybe. Is that how it goes? I don't even think you get your money back. I think that just kind of like a tax write off, isn't it? I don't think they, you don't get any money, at the end of the year, something like that. I don't think you know whatever's lingering over. I don't think cash. You don't get cash back. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying.
You probably can't get the money back. The parent would have to go up there and address it to the principal and ask for that money to be refunded. It can't be done and shouldn't be done without the parents being informed about the way the school is handling it. So if the parent doesn't want it to be handled in that way, then the parent should address the principal and make sure that the money is refunded.
Okay. Oh, okay. You know, at the end of the year, some parents be like, they forgot about it, or, it's not a big deal.
Then if they don't have money to send with the kid, then there's some money sitting on the account. And if he gets a little hungry, I think one of the issues when I heard Ms. Reddy talking about the kids being hungry is I've noticed with some of the schools, the kids get fed a little bit too early. Some kids taking lunches as early as, 10, 11 o'clock. And that's really pretty early for kids if they're having to go to school till 3 or 4 in the afternoon. So maybe it's looking at their lunch hour times because kids shouldn't be in school for too many hours without eating, and then they shouldn't be there too many hours after they've eaten, because once they start burning it up, then they're going to come home and they're going to be extremely hungry. So
yeah.
The parents might look at the lunch hours that the kids have to see, and then make sure that they have a snack ready when that kid gets home.
That's what I was saying. Some of the people were saying, I've done an actual poll on my page this week, and we were actually talking about it. And, like, some of the parents were saying, like you said, some of the kids are eating very early, and once they make it home, they are extremely hungry. And she was saying that some of the servings, she was sending money up to the schools where she had to pay extra, like an extra $2 or something, for her child to actually have an extra serving of the meal, because she was saying, like, they'll give them, like, a scoop of this and a scoop of that. And she was saying that her child is more of an eater, and her child was coming home, like, with headaches and things of that nature, so they were concerned about that. So they were saying, and some of the food the kids are refusing to eat. And I know I've had a situation to where my child, he goes to alternative school, and at the alternative school, they have sandwiches, and some of the sandwiches was coming, and they were molded. So I understood the lady when she said that her child had the molded sandwiches and things of that nature, and sometimes the teachers tell them that you have to actually get exactly what you have because they don't have any extra things there. At those kind of schools, they order for the kid, the number of kids that's there. They take the exact order, you know what I'm saying? And at that point, I had to actually contact the school and let them know how my child didn't eat today because his food was molded. And they said that there was nothing that they could do because they actually ordered the food for each child that's there. There was nothing that I can do in that instance besides just, make a complaint. At that time, I filed a complaint. And I was sharing with the other lady that I had came into a situation like that as well, and I told her what I'd done. I filed a complaint and let them know that how my child's bread and stuff was molded and the meat was molded, And I didn't feel like that was fair because at that point, my child had nothing to eat at the school. So I understood her concern, you know, completely because I've experienced that. And, yeah, I've experienced that myself. You know, I've had one-on-one experience with that a couple of times with the district that my child goes to. Yeah, I don't know if y'all have ever encountered something of that nature. But, yeah, I wanted to address that as well because in situations like that, they don't have anything extra for the children. So, you know, that's a concern. But, you know, the children, I think the schools are actually trying to help the kids as far as the nutrition thing. They're trying to make sure the kids, I agree with them on trying to make sure the kids aren't obese. But some of the food that they're serving, I think some of us want the kids to have more of a home-cooked meal. And, like, I get what you're saying as far as them feeding the kids inside the classrooms. I don't agree with that because I don't feel like that's sanitary. But a lot of the kids are, I mean, a lot of the schools are actually doing it.
Yeah, they are. And that's and to think that's a lot of money going into that, you know, into that program. And that, you know, and the money that's going into that program, but the food that's being that the kids are eating is not showing what's, you know, what's being put into it. You feel what I'm saying? It's not the money that us taxpayers are putting into it. You know what I'm saying? The thousands of the millions of dollars that's going into it. Look at the portions that they're getting. You feel what I'm saying?
You don't feel like the portions are agreeable with the money that you're spending on the food.
Correct. Yes. It worked. Correct.
Yeah, that goes back to what the other caller was saying. She was saying that she don't feel like our body needs a lot of food in order to live. And I understand that. But if you're spending your money on the food and those kids are paying $2 and $3 for the food, I understand what you're saying. Like, they should have a real meal. Is that what you're saying, Donovan?
Kind of correct. You know what I'm saying? You know, because, you know, you got some of these high schools that I know, well, and I know in Fort Worth, in the crowd, some chain at this, you know, they have where you have the opportunity to, you know, have like Subways or, you know, that's also combined with some of the high schools. Franchise, you know, with the schools. Where's that money? All, you know, a lot of that money going.
Yeah, I'm unsure of where the money is going as far as that. But I know, I understand what you're saying as far as the franchising. They're actually having the McDonald's and Taco Bell's and Subways and stuff inside the schoolhouses where the kids can actually purchase food. Yeah. Remember the poll on that? I think some of the parents' concerns. I don't know why the parents didn't call in on tonight. I really wish they would have called in so they could have voiced their opinion, because I did a poll on that as well, and some of the parents were saying that they didn't feel like they had to send extra cash for their children to eat once they had already, once they're supposed to either receive free lunch or reduced lunch, and then they have to pay for the extra meals in the high schools as well. I get what you're saying on that.
Would you repeat that?
On the poll that we done, one lady stated that she didn't feel like, she said her child's school has like I think she said it was a sub. What did she say? It was a Subway inside the school?
Diamond?
She said the Subway inside the school, Ms. Beasley. She said that like they have the little franchises, like where the schools have the extra, like the franchise places inside the school buildings. And they're to where the kids are able to buy food from those places. Like, you know, like you have the McDonald's inside Walmart, they actually have in some of the schools, they have another place where they can buy real food, you know, other food from the schools. And she was saying that she didn't feel like she should have to send extra money for her child to purchase that kind of a meal, you know, like going, you know, purchasing like a fast food restaurant meal while they're in school and they're already receiving free lunch. She was saying, "Well,
she has to she has to remember two things. One, a free lunch is not a right. It's a privilege that you're not really entitled to. It's just that the low incomes of so many families and so many single families requires that the government step up and provide food, or these children a lot of times wouldn't eat except one time a day, and some of the children wouldn't eat. So
yeah.
You have to stand back and look at things, because a lot of things people are taking as rights are not rights. The school is not obligated by law, unless they've agreed to it, to provide lunches. That's something that the parents are supposed to do. That's not the school's obligation to feed the children. That was an obligation that the government took over because a lot of the kids were coming to school when they didn't eat anything in the morning. They didn't have anything to eat at lunch. And a lot of times they didn't get anything to eat for dinner. And so the government stepped in and said, well, let's feed these kids and give these kids some food, because they're not eating properly at home and they're coming to school with no money, no lunch, and so these kids are not eating. And so this is not a right by law that we have to feed kids in school. This is something that the government stepped in and did to prevent so many kids from going hungry all day. So step back and look at what's a right and what's a privilege, and this is not a right. This is a privilege that the government gives to help kids, to make sure that our kids grow up and they have something to eat and they don't go to bed hungry. So if you want to feed your kids fast food, that's your choice. However, the only thing that I would think parents would be complaining about is making sure that their kids get fresh food every day and that they get snacks in between their lunches, so that the kids aren't coming home hungry, because a lot of kids, when they get home, they don't have any dinner. What they ate for lunch is all they're going to get for the day. So let's keep things in perspective about what's a right and what's a privilege.
Yeah, that's the end of it. But I get your standpoint. I mean, a lot of the parents that was on the poll were saying, I understand both viewpoints. I understand that it's a privilege, and I also understand what she was saying as far as she didn't have to send money up there for her kids to eat. What I explained to her on that, they put the fast food restaurant in there for the people who had the extra money to actually go over there and eat. But I said, your kids don't have to eat over there. That's why they have the free food. Y'all don't think that makes sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect good sense.
Yeah, that makes good sense. I mean, you have a right to choose whether your kid eats what's in the cafeteria or eats something else.
That's right.
But the good thing about it, they're blessed today. When I was going to school, we didn't have a choice. If your mom didn't send you anything to eat, you didn't eat. So at least now the kids can get something, although processed food is not the best thing for your kid to eat. But we are just glad that they're getting some type of nourishment.
Well, one time for the kids, well, you know, because when they come home, after a day of the cafeteria, they sit there, rake the ice box, the refrigerators, and they have a big appetite. So, you know.
I'm sorry. I apologize, Diamond D. My phone had went out, so I missed the last comment that you were making. Could you please re-say it, please?
Oh, we were talking about the food.
Okay, I missed the last comment. I know we were talking about food on tonight, y'all, but unfortunately, the calls are not picking up and like I wanted them to. But I wanted to talk about. I know this is totally off of subject, and I know this is probably on y'all mind as well. We were talking about food and at the school, but I really wanted to change the subject before we started. So I don't know if y'all going to be upset with me, Block Talk listeners, Street Talk, but I really want to speak about Ebola.
Oh, yes. Let's speak about it.
Yeah, I really apologize, Diamond D. I know you're my co-host.
What is going on with the Ebola virus? I haven't caught up on anything. I've been working all day, all week. So what is the latest?
Okay. Kyler, are you still there, 7380?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I apologize that I switched the subjects on you guys, but I'm totally wanting to talk about the Ebola. And I know that it's a lot of concerns about the food and nutrition and stuff with the kids, but I really wanted to speak about the Ebola on tonight, so I apologize for totally switching the subject on you guys. But I'm very concerned. This is street talk, and I really want to speak about the Ebola virus. I know you've been at work, Diamond, and what's going on with the Ebola, a guy had came from Africa, and he had the Ebola virus, and he went to the hospital at Presbyterian, and he tried to get some help. And he actually walked in that first time he went, and then they gave him prescriptions for a cold and flu virus, you know, because they thought that he was totally suffering from that, because they asked this guy, had you been traveling and all this. He told them, yes, he had traveled to Africa, but they asked him, had he come in contact with anybody with the Ebola? He told them no. So that's a part of you telling the truth to people. And, you know, remember we talk about truth and lying all the time. He told them no. He hadn't came into contact with nobody, but he told them that he traveled to Africa. But had they, I feel like had they paid attention to when he said he traveled to Africa, the nurses put it on the computer, but the doctors didn't see that he had traveled to Africa. Had they known that he traveled to Africa, I think they would have caught that before they allowed him to go home. But they didn't allow him, they didn't catch it. So they allowed him to go home, and he got into contact with other people, you know what I'm saying, at that point. And then the ambulance had rushed him back a couple of days later because he actually, you know, got real sick and had to be rushed to the hospital. And so that's how they came to it, that he had the Ebola virus or whatever, the disease. And totally they've been, you know, it's been going on for this whole week or whatever. And, like, he totally had it when he first went to the hospital, and they made the people that was at his house and stuff, you know, the kids, it was a few kids at the house, and they went on to school and stuff like that. And, you know, they came into contact with it, but they said that the kids are not sick or anything. They're monitoring them at this point. They're monitoring the family and the people and stuff that he's came in contact with. But I feel so afraid, and I'm so sorry. I feel so sorry and so bad for the people that actually had to come into contact with him, because I feel like if he had told the truth, remember we spoke about telling the truth and telling a lie last time? Had he just told the truth, you know, yes, I've been in contact with the Ebola virus, because they clearly said that he took somebody else to the hospital while he was over there, and they had the Ebola virus, and they died. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And remember, my saying is, at what point do you start telling the truth? You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Can I intervene on this? This Doughboy.
Hi, Doughboy. I appreciate you for calling. Go ahead and intervene.
Let me say this. This is what I was understood. The guy was in Africa, took a lady to the hospital. She was pregnant. She had it, you know what I'm saying? So he took her to three or four hospitals, and they turned her down. You know what I'm saying?
About
the situation, you know what I'm saying? So
with
that being said, I guess he left Indonesia?
I think
it's Indonesia. He left Indonesia and came to the United States, because he couldn't get no service there. Once he found out that she had and she died, he came here, because guess what? They cured the other two people, cured him. This is my understanding. You know what I'm saying? Now, this is from the Book of Doughboy. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Not from the United States or the government, or this Book of Doughboy. Now, if he did that to come and get him some help, now they're saying that even though he's quarantined in his house with his family, you know, you're supposed to get people supposed to come in there and help you to clean up and all these kind of things. No one wants to do this. You see what I'm saying?
They really can't
technically get mad at no one for doing it, but here's the thing. If this person came from this country, you know what I'm saying, and he came to get some help, then, you know, like they said, arrest him. You know what I'm saying? Because that's just like you giving somebody HIV and you're spreading it and you're not telling nobody. But how can you know something and nobody told you?
But look, though, boy, look, listen to this. How about this? Let's grab a bag of these apples. If you knew that you had this before you left from over there, why would you bring it to a whole nother place and give it to everybody else because you came in contact with? That's called being selfish. He did not take into consideration how serious it was. Once he went to that hospital, he should have never left that hospital if he was actually going to get help. So now they're saying that they're trying to see if they're going to actually give him a case for doing this. You know what I'm saying? And I honestly, my honest opinion, this is Reddy's opinion. It's not a state opinion. It's not nobody else's opinion. Reddy's opinion is I feel like he should get a case for it because he knew, like you said, that he had this before he left from over there. Whether he came over here to get help or not, he was afraid for his life. I understand that. But at what point do you tell the truth? When he went to the hospital, he should have never left that hospital knowing that he came into contact with these people. He should have never left that hospital and went home to those apartments in the office and just went on like, you know, like something to help him through that. If you knew that that lady had already died from that, you knew that's what you had. And that's just the same way if you have AIDS and you know you got AIDS and you go and sleep with somebody else, you knew you had that before you slept with that person. You get what I'm saying?
True. I agree 100%.
Like you just said, that's called making excuses for him. We can't make excuses for him at this point. I feel like he's responsible for each and every individual if he do spread it, because they haven't said that he even gave it to nobody else yet. But if you do spread it, I feel like he should totally be responsible for everybody he came into contact with, because that's wrong. That's unfair to everybody else. Nobody else asked for that. And that he knew that disease was going on over there, and whether he was trying to get his self-help or not, you came and you endangered everybody else you came into contact with. You went to the hospital and you left the hospital. So what do you say about that, though, boy?
Turn it back.
Come on, talk to me.
Yeah, I feel what you're saying, Reddy.
Okay.
I feel what you're saying. I'm not in disagreement with nothing that you're saying.
He came to get help. You said he came to get help because the other people turned her down. But once they turned her down, that had nothing to do with him. He knew that he had came into contact with that at that point. That's when I say people should stand up and tell the truth. He knew when they asked him, did you come into contact with anybody with Ebola? What did that man say?
Evidently, he said no.
He told them no. So you feel like he was still trying to get himself some help? He wasn't. You go in that place. If you burning, you're going to go in that place and tell them people you burning, right?
You're
going to go in that place and you're going to tell them people you burning. The doctors don't know. The doctors do not know. Like most of these doctors, you know what I'm saying? They are very well trained and stuff like that. They're very well educated. But if you don't tell these people what's going on with you, they cannot help you. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
At what point he got sick and couldn't hardly talk no more and all that stuff, then he want to tell the people, yeah, well, I apologize, I came into contact with it.
I agree.
I
agree with everything that you're saying. You know what I'm saying? It's a scary factor on everybody's behalf. You see what I'm saying? Because, you know, for years, that's just like when shit went on with the little chick. Remember CJ back in the day? You know what I'm saying? Nobody, when she started playing with him, when she really tried to open people's eyes up, nobody took her seriously. But now, you know what I'm saying? The thing that blow it out, there it is. You know what I'm saying? And if you can save these other people, save me too. That's probably how he's looking at it.
I don't think he was really looking at that. He probably was just trying to get home because he had three opportunities to tell them that he had Ebola. He left each of those countries, and neither time did he speak up.
Yeah.
So he was probably just trying to get home, but now he's in serious condition, so you don't know if he has, if anybody in that house has contracted anything. So, you know, you don't know until the 21 days are over if anything else has happened.
New messages received from listening.
Hold on, I'm trying to get LaShawn back on the phone.
Yeah.
Hold on, my cousin want to comment.
All right. Hello, how y'all doing? How y'all doing?
Go ahead. Oh, just fine, how are you?
I'm just fine.
Go ahead.
I think it's all just...
Go ahead.
I think it's all just something to talk about. I don't think it's no Ebola outbreak. I think it's just something to talk about.
You say you don't think it's Ebola?
I don't think it's real because it's just something to talk about. I just want to scare the people, get people in an uproar because for the simple fact, but if it started out that it was in Arkansas or wherever it was, now, if people didn't really just get in the frenzy, now that they're saying it's in North Dallas, it's getting closer and closer in schools, and it's not very many people that doesn't have a person that goes to a DISD school, so they're just trying to make it. I think it's just something to talk about, just kind of put people on the uproar or scare them, and I don't believe it.
So you're telling me that you think that these people are putting on a show?
Yeah, just something to do. Just something to talk about. That's human nature. The first time they talk about Ebola, now everybody want to go crazy. And ain't nobody died yet.
No. I apologize, but people have died from the Ebola virus. Where are you being when they've been talking about it on the news?
I think he's talking about on far as the recently.
Recently, yeah.
He ain't talking about like something. He's talking about on the data skin where people getting scared.
I'm not ignorant. I know people have died from the disease, but have anybody died in Dallas from the disease?
So you think that they closed our Presbyterian Hospital and they quarantined all these people and that they've have you not seen them covering cars up? I don't think me, myself, personally, I don't think Dallas has the money to scare us by covering up all these things and making people stay inside their homes and stuff like that to just scare us. I don't think that that's a good way of thinking. At this point, I don't think that that's a good way of thinking. I don't think that they would do that. I apologize. I just don't agree with that.
Well, let me interject here. What he's saying is not so far stretched. It has happened in history, although this is probably not the same, but it has happened in the past where they have done this, but I don't think that this is that scenario. But I understand what he's saying. He's saying that because they don't know certain things, they are putting a tremendous amount of fear in people's hearts. And so until they know more information, it would be better to just curtail it because they do make people really fearful of going outside. So I understand what he's saying. He's saying until they confirm it, conclude it, that this is the only person and just give us definitive answers, they do put you in tremendous amount of shock when they keep harping at it and threatening it, and it does make people have a sense of fear. And that's all he's saying is that they should kind of control it somewhat and not make people so fearful.
Yeah, I think that they are actually trying to protect people's concerns because of how they're telling us that don't be afraid because you can't catch it this kind of way and things of that nature. I don't think that they're trying to scare us, unfortunately, you guys. Maybe I'm saying it wrong. I understand your outlook on it, but I'm saying that I don't think that they would go under this great much of a pressure to play with somebody like that. What would be the reason for them to play with us and say that it's a virus like that? I do think that they don't really know much about the virus.
It wasn't said that way. It wasn't meant that way that they're doing that. I think if I'm understanding him correctly, the way I see it, is sometimes when they harp on things to a certain degree, it does put a lot of fear in your heart, and it does make people wary. So I think it's not that everything that they're saying is true. It's just when you hear so much of it, it does put a lot of fear in your heart. So maybe that's what he was talking about.
Okay, caller, are you saying that? Are you saying it that way, or are you saying that you don't believe that it's an Ebola virus?
I'm saying I do believe it, but I'm just saying I don't want to. Don't cry wolf. That's what I'm saying. Don't get everybody out uproar, and it really isn't that serious. Because if it was that serious, I think they'll be taking more drastic measures. Because you know it's nothing to play with. But you know,
I think
one second it was 18 people you contacted, and then went from 18 to 81 people. I don't know if they're trying to scare people. I don't know what they're doing. I just if it's serious, it's serious. Ebola's nothing to play with. It's not a pain of matter. But I'm just saying, don't get people in the uproar if it's really not that serious, because we got too much stuff going on already.
Honestly, I'm gonna tell you something. Honestly, my honest opinion on that is, I don't think they're being truthful about how many people that they've came in contact with. I don't think that some people are taking it as serious as they should, but I understand that the seriousness of the nature, you're saying that they shouldn't put that much severity. They're overdoing it. I get what you're saying. You're saying that they're overdoing it. I don't think that they're overdoing it enough. I think that they hiding. My opinion is I think that they're hiding how many people that he's actually came in contact with, because they don't want to scare us. I feel like they hide some stuff where they don't want to scare the public because they don't know how to control what's going on
It is a cure for the Ebola, correct?
No.
There's no cure?
Oh, no, there's no cure for the Ebola.
They hadn't said it. There is a cure for Ebola, but the problem is that there's not a lot of it. There is a cure because the two scientists that they brought back here were cured. The problem is if they get it in time that you can be the virus thing will work. That's the issue, if they get it in time.
Yeah, the severity of the toll that it's actually taking on your body, like how much time, you know, it's the time frame, like how severe is it in your body, like any other disease, how serious have it got before they get it, you know, before they get it, gather it and get it under control. You get what I'm saying?
And then I'm the type of person is, I don't like to go to here, but. Is this something you doing to get it started so you can start putting Ebola in people? You know, I don't want to be that person. I don't want to say that y'all pissing on the news so y'all can start putting Ebola in people. You know, you don't want to put that out there because people are not really taking it serious. Some people are taking it serious. I don't want to be the person to say, okay, here it is. We got the Ebola virus. Now they should have started putting the Ebola virus on people. You know, you always got that scenario to go with the Black Panther type thing that they put the drugs in here, they put the disease in here, they put it in here. You know, you're going to always have that scenario.
Yeah. You always have that scenario, but at this point, I don't think that that was the situation at hand, because they have another man that's over that's overseas that's waiting. He was one of our camera guys, news guys, and they're waiting to actually send him out back over home to try to get him help with his situation, and that they can't get him here, and he's not going to leave until Sunday from over there where he's at. So at this point, they took the news off of him broadcasting. They've actually went to people using their cell phones. So, yeah, I don't think that that's something that they're playing with at this point, because he was actually over there trying to take a look at it. And while he was over there looking at it, he done caught it. You get what I'm saying? So his family is here, and they're getting ready to send him over here to Dallas as well so that he can get him some help on Sunday. And so with this other guy that's already here that came into contact with all the other people. I think people should take heed to what's going on in the world and acknowledge that this is real and it's going on right here before us. And you have to take how can I put it? You have to actually gain knowledge about something that's going on because it's happening whether we want to accept it or not.
Yes, it is.
That's another thing that I'm glad that y'all are taking the time to do this because a lot of people right now ignorance is a virtue. A lot right now it's Ebola. Right now people ain't thinking about the Ebola. You think about your rent. You think about this. You think about that. Right now that's the least of your worries is the Ebola. But it's really it's people in the world that have the means and the finances to look into this and think about this, but it's somebody that has way more problems where their next meal coming from, how they going to pay their rent. They're not thinking about the Ebola. And that's the type of, I'm glad that y'all are doing it because a lot of people out there, the Ebola is the furthest thing from their mind because there's so many problems that we are facing today that you will put the Ebola on the back burner because you're like, oh, here we go with this. On top of, I can't pay my rent, I can't pay my car note, I can't do this, I can't do that. So I'm glad that y'all, there's a lot of people that's not taking this seriously, and it's like, oh, here we go again with something else. So it's good that y'all are getting it out there, and it's out there, and that people do need to take it seriously, because a lot of people are not taking it seriously, because so much other things going on in your life that were, you will turn your back on this situation, and it can spread on those circumstances. So I'm glad people are really looking into this because a lot of people got so much stuff on it. The last thing they're thinking about is Ebola.
You're right, but that's people better start paying attention to the things that's going around.
Exactly, because right now that's the least you're worried. But that's silent but deadly. It's silent but deadly.
People don't worry about high blood pressure, and people don't worry about AIDS either, but they still having sex. And I mean,
right now, the Ebola is the least of people worries. But y'all right, this is something that people do need to raise their eyebrows about, and people do need to be concerned about, because people are not people. You will be amazed on wash your hands.
People thought that the flu was a joke too until somebody's family died from it. You know what I'm saying? People think that everything's a joke. You know what I'm saying? People don't take stuff serious, but I bet them people that's over there in North Dallas in the Ivy apartment, they taking it very serious because it's happening right there to them. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't take a lot of things in life serious until it happens to them or somebody is right there around them.
Exactly. See, that's why I'm glad y'all doing this, because the people in South Dallas and Oak Cliff, they're not thinking about this. They think about the fire and all other stuff. So much stuff going on that they're not thinking about the big picture. It's too much other stuff going on, so this is something that really needs to be talked about in the black neighborhood. Because in the black neighborhood, in the Caucasian neighborhood, they really looking into this. But in the black neighborhood, we can have so much other stuff on our plate. We're not talking about no Ebola. It's a game to us. But I'm glad that you people are looking into it. And a lot of people do need to be looking into it. Because before you know it, it'll be done. It'll take us fast. It really will. Because people think it's a game. Ebola, oh, it's a game. Oh, no. And so you know that everybody around here will be sick.
Yep. People better start paying attention. But I don't think it's just the black neighborhood that's not paying attention, because where it just happened at, it is a black neighborhood. It's the Ivy. It's right in North Dallas. It's the Ivy. right where a lot of our friends live. A lot of my friends live over there. A lot of people that I know live over there. So I take it very serious. Anytime somebody say something, I take it serious because you right. Stuff that come out of people's mouth, I honestly feel like, you know, people's words should be their bond. So everything I say, I take it serious, and I feel like the next person should take it serious too, because that goes along with, they say you better pay close attention to what a person tell you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, people
live to tell
right.
you anything, but you pay attention to what a paralyzed is telling you. You won't be so shocked when something happens, when something go on.
Right.
Yeah, we have 4 minutes left, callers, and I appreciate you all calling on tonight.
I greatly appreciate it.
We were supposed to be talking about the food and nutrition, but the Ebola just really, you know, it was really on my mind, and I just really had to share it with you guys because, I mean, I know that I wasn't the only person that was concerned about that, and I wanted to get that out there, and I wanted to let y'all know that it's happening right here in front of us.
It's happening in front of us, and we're not taking it serious, and it could be serious than we think it is.
Yeah, it could be way more serious. And like you said, you were saying earlier, people not paying attention. You got to start paying attention because, hi, you don't know if you came into contact with that man or the person that man came into contact with. And that man, like the other caller said earlier, Doughboy, he said that man came up here to get some help, and that's what that man did. That man done what he thought was right. That man came up here to get him some help. But that man didn't tell the truth. You know what I'm saying? You got to tell the truth when you're trying to get some help. You got to start telling the truth because nobody can help you if you're lying. Nobody, you know what I'm saying? That's like I would like you can't help a person if they lie. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't be ignorant to the fact that things is going on around you right in front of you. And that was going on right in front of that man, and that man was scared. I believe, you know. And so he may have not told the all-the-way truth, you know, because he was scared probably what was going to happen to him because he knew that, you know, at this point he hadn't looked back over here and then people was going to feel some type of way about it and they may not have helped him, but now they're helping him. I'm proud that he's getting the help that he needs. And I just don't like came into contact with a whole lot of other people and put a lot of people at risk, you know, and that's my concern that not only grown people was put at risk, kids was put at risk as well because those kids he came into contact with. And like that, like his girlfriend that was over there in North Dallas, like she said, they put them back inside that house and told them to stay there. And they was going to monitor them, and they hadn't sent nobody over to clean our house. And like she said, hey, this is the house he got sick in. So at this point, where do we go? You know what I'm saying? Like, how do we get the help? We're not getting the proper help we need, and I'm glad that the people took the time to go over there and clean their house. And, you know, actually make sure that they're safe, you know, because they hadn't got sick yet. And I just hope, you know, that I'm pray for them, hope that they don't get sick, you know, because those kids don't deserve that. And those kids went to school not knowing that they had came into contact with her boyfriend that was sick, you know what I'm saying? And he had that Ebola and, you know, things of that nature. And you guys, I appreciate y'all for calling and speaking with Reddy and Domino tonight. We have 3 minutes left. Anybody have any announcements or anything that they would like to make? Nobody has announcements. Well, I appreciate you all for calling. We have 2 minutes left. We're here every Friday night. I want to continue this conversation about the Ebola on next week. I'm going to catch up with it and let y'all know what's going on with it. I want to continue this conversation and see exactly how far it's going to spread it by next week. I'm afraid that it don't spread you know, things of that nature. And y'all make sure y'all give us a call on next week. We'll be here same time at 310-982-4126.
This evening, we thank you for the listeners that came on, and we thank you for allowing them to voice their opinions and help us all understand what's going on in the world. Lord, we ask you to bless Reddy and we bless Diamond and bless our callers. Yes. And Lord, we ask you to help us, Lord, and meet the needs of all those that are in need, Lord. And we thank you for all things in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night.
Amen. Good night.
Great job. You guys did a great job.